The American-Israel Public Affairs Committee is known as the most influential U.S. foreign policy lobby group. As Americans face automatic spending cuts, AIPAC is discussing whether the cuts will affect U.S. direct aid to Israel. With Barack Obama planning to make his first presidential trip to Israel, many are asking, will Obama make a difference in U.S.-Israeli relations? Is Israel an asset or a liability for the U.S.? This is the debate.
The outcome of events. It's our responsibility to do something to help.
AIPAC's annual conference usually draws together U.S. Democratic and Republican politicians alike in a shared theme of improved U.S.-Israel relations. But this year's conference comes as relations between the U.S. president and the Israeli prime minister are a bit chilly. This became evident following Tel Aviv's open support for Republican Mitt Romney in the U.S. presidential election. Barack Obama is due to visit Israel at the end of March. And Benjamin Netanyahu's trouble in building a new government raises a question of whether Obama may call off the visit. Numerous early reports about the conference's agenda this year indicate that organizers have ambitious legislative goals for the week. Those goals include an effort to protect Israel against any cuts to Washington's foreign aid that might come as a result of automatic budget cuts. There is also an attempt to have Israel formally designated a major strategic ally of the United States, a unique status that would be enjoyed only by Tel Aviv. The move is seen as facilitating any possible Israeli military action against Iran's nuclear energy program, which also appears on the conference agenda. There is already a non-binding bill in the U.S. Congress linked to AIPAC, which demands Washington's support for any Israeli strike against Iran. Some observers interpret the bill as an indirect means to draw the U.S. military into a possible military confrontation with Iran. The nomination of former U.S. Senator Chuck Hagel as Secretary of Defense seems to be another matter of consideration in the future U.S.-Israel relations. Hagel's confirmation by Congress met some stiff opposition from U.S. lawmakers and pro-Israel lobbyists over his past statements critical of Tel Aviv. Another interesting point about this year's AIPAC meeting is that for the first time in 7 years, the U.S. president will not attend the conference. However, despite Obama's absence, analysts believe AIPAC continues to remain one of the most powerful lobby groups in Washington, a reminder of the weighty influence of the Israeli lobby in U.S. politics.
You're watching The Debate. Joining me now live from New York is Mr. Eric Dreitzer with StopImperialism.com. I'd also like to welcome our guest in Washington, President of the Middle East Research Center, Mr. Richard Hellman. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being on this edition of The Debate. My first question to Mr. Hellman in Washington. Mr. Hellman, AIPAC alone, we're hearing, has more than 200 employees in 7 offices throughout the U.S. The lobby is said to be able to, I'm quoting here, dethrone any senator or congressman who arouses its anger. A lot of reports have been saying, making rather similar sentiments. But does AIPAC really control U.S. policy?
No. As a matter of fact, AIPAC today is, while interesting and strong organization, is not even the most powerful organization. And as a matter of fact, AIPAC just rides in on the belief of most Americans. Most Americans, Christians and Jews who read the Bible, say that God gave the land of Israel to the Jewish people, and that's the end of the story, that there should not be another nation created in the place of the reborn state of Israel. And most Americans also think that the United States should reach out to the people of Iran and ask them, why does Iran have a corrupt, militaristic government that is threatening to eliminate Israel and the Jewish people and threatening America? Iran is a, old and rich culture and people, historic.
Yeah.
Even it's even written of in the Bible and in all the great books of the world.
So, I'll stop you there, if I may, Mr. Hellman.
Why present day Iran and riding in on the heels of the Persian Empire does not have a government that really reflects
the issues, of course, relating to Israeli and U.S. policies.
These are the thoughts that America has, AIPAC doesn't really even address these issues. AIPAC just asks about $3 billion for aid to Israel.
Okay.
But $3 billion is lost in the roundoff of the Israeli GDP.
Okay.
Is about
you referred to a number of issues there, Mr. Hellman. I'm merely stopping you. Yeah, because we're going to discuss those.
$3 billion is lost in this.
Okay. We're going to discuss these issues that you raised here throughout the course of the program, the policies on Iran, the policies on the Middle East. We'll come back to those topics that you raised there. But just to get in Mr. Eric Dreitzer in the discussion as well. Now, Mr. Dreitzer, I guess there, Mr. Hellman's saying that he doesn't believe AIPAC actually has that kind of, so to speak, control on U.S. policy. Right now, we know a lot being said about whether the recent spending cuts is going to affect the aid that the U.S. is giving Israel. Do you think, if we see this aid continuing, that we can conclude that actually there is some type of control on U.S. policy or not?
Well, I think the question of control versus extreme influence is somewhat superficial. Whether they wield a tremendous amount of influence, whether they have direct control, I think is a matter of debate. What I think is not debatable is the fact that AIPAC, as an extension of Israel, is an integral part of U.S. foreign policy. It provides the pretext, the necessary pretext that the United States needs to continue to prop up Israel and essentially use Israel as a client state against Iran and against any other enemies in the region. And I want to just respond to what the previous guest in Washington just said regarding Iran and the United States. It is the United States, not Iran, that is the militarist nation in this equation. Iran does not have seven simultaneous wars going at the moment. Iran is not bombing with drones all over the world. Iran has not engaged in a war that it started for centuries. So to suggest that Iran is the militarist nation, I think, is completely ludicrous. But I think the question of the AIPAC lobby is an important one. People are trying to spin this as if AIPAC is somehow declining in their significance, when I think the reality shows, just as we saw with Vice President Biden's speech to AIPAC earlier today, that the Israel lobby still wields a tremendous amount of influence, and U.S. politicians all the way into the White House have to show their loyalty to the Israel lobby and show that they do take orders, whether from AIPAC or from powers beyond them.
Okay, now on the Iran question, Mr. Hellman, I'd just like to point up here that we had Benjamin Netanyahu speaking via video conference with the AIPAC today, and he was saying that when it comes to Iran's nuclear issue, it should be diplomacy alongside military threats and pressure on Iran. We do know that Ehud Barak also said that all options still remain on the table, but this isn't what Obama has been supporting. We're hearing the Obama administration say that they prefer a diplomatic solution. So do you think there is a serious disagreement between Israel and the U.S. on Iran?
Well, yes, I think so. I think Israel, paradoxically, is much more concerned about the development of nuclear weapons by the regime in Tehran, because that same regime and the Ayatollahs and many civilian and military leaders have threatened to eliminate Israel and have made vile anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, anti-Jewish statements, which do not reflect, I feel, the real heart of the Iranian people. Many Jews live in Iran. There's a rich Iranian Jewish tradition. So I don't believe that the regime in Tehran, which is corrupt and thieving and undemocratic, really reflects the Iranian people. So something not said at the AIPAC conference, but which many discuss in the United States, is why the Iranian people don't change the government to have a government that better reflects their own rich history and culture and tradition and learning, instead of this militaristic and anti-Israel, anti-Western regime. Iran is a rich and powerful country, probably the richest and most powerful country in the Middle East. They will have a great deal of control, if not hegemony, in the Middle East, with or without nuclear weapons, if the regime just were not so antagonistic to the outside world.
Well, speaking, of course, about the nuclear issue on Iran, Eric Dreitzer, we know that recently we had the P5+1 talks with Iran. The U.S. was also involved in those talks. And a lot of people were analyzing the situation and saying there's now a lot of... That question to Eric Dreitzer, and I'll come back to you, Mr. Hellman. Now, Mr. Dreitzer, the thing is, a lot of people saying that Israel is having a lot of influence on how these talks are proceeding. I mean, Iran had been saying that these talks are positive, but at the same time, Ehud Barak was casting doubt as to how successful these talks are going to be. So do you think that there is a lot of Israeli pressure influencing these talks on the nuclear issue for instance, to be resolved?
Well, I don't know about Israeli power really influencing the substance of the talks. I think that what the Israelis are doing is engaging in a mission of subversion. They want to subvert these negotiations because the last thing that Israel wants is any kind of a political solution vis-a-vis Iran. Israel, for its own geopolitical reasons, needs to see Iran destroyed. They need to see Iran destroyed in order to exert their own hegemony in the region. The Israelis understand very clearly, they're certainly not ignorant of the fact that if Iran is taken out of the equation, there is very little in the way of Israel expanding into southern Lebanon, destroying Hezbollah, taking land east of the current state of Israel and south of Israel as well. So this fits into a broader geopolitical context, and the question of these negotiations is really a question of whether or not there will be a political solution, or if the Israelis get their way, a military one.
Okay. Now, the question here is how the Israeli-U.S. relations are being affected in Obama's administration. Before I go to our guests in Washington, I'd just like to tell our viewers now that we're going to take a look at one of the comments that's been put on our website, on our Facebook page, that is. We raised the question there. Let's take a look now at one of the comments. We've asked from our viewers, the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee holds its annual conference in the U.S., so share with us your ideas about Israeli-U.S. ties. Are they as special as they used to be under previous U.S. administration? Is Israel an asset or a liability for the U.S.? So our viewers there have put various comments, one of them saying Israel is a precious asset for the advancement of the U.S. dominance in the Middle East. It gets everything from the U.S. and it does everything for the U.S. Now, Mr. Hellman, in Washington, there's been a lot said when it comes to U.S. and Israeli relations. Some, like our viewer here, saying that Israel is being used by America as an asset for its own agenda. Others saying that no, it's the Israelis who are wielding pressure on the U.S. Your take?
I believe each nation is really independent, and the leaders of each nation in the United States and in Israel answer to the voters, answer to the citizens. Now, when it's to the advantage of both nations to cooperate, they do. But there are many ways in which I think this present administration in Washington does not want to rock the boat, wants to keep talking to the representatives of the regime in Tehran, even though they offer nothing by way of any plan to decrease their numbers of thousands of centrifuges enriching uranium, likely for development of nuclear weapons. But it's not about the weapons. It's about what the Iran regime and its civilian and military, clerical, and secular leaders have said, that they want to eliminate Israel and the Jewish people, and they are confronting the West. If that were to end, I think there would be a whole different picture in the Middle East. Israel does not want war. The Israelis, and I've lived there in Jerusalem, I lived there for 7 years, they do not want war. They've had too much war over their lifetime. Neither does America want war, having extricated ourselves from Iraq and about to extricate ourselves from Afghanistan. So neither America nor Israel wants war. Free democracies generally do not want war, and that's the case with our two nations.
Yeah, well, I'll just go to another comment that's been put on our Facebook page, because it stands in contrast to the one we just heard about the influence of Israel on the United States or vice versa. One of our viewers has said, and I'm reading this for you, I think it's fair to say that the tail is clearly wagging the dog in this association and that America is indeed a Zionist-occupied government. If only the average American was aware of how many billions of their tax dollars have gone towards funding a parasite state which has engaged in more high-level espionage and deceit than any other nation in its history and whose flagrant disregard of international law only puts American lives and interests at greater risk in the world. With friends like Israel, who needs enemies? John Boy, Charlie Parzival, our commentator there, putting that comment on our Facebook page. So, Eric Dreitzer, which argument would you go for here? Yeah, that question for Eric Dreitzer, I'll come back to you, Mr. Hellman. Would you say that here, as the Noam Chomsky argument goes, that it's basically the U.S. Following its own agenda through Israel, or it's what they've called a Zionist-occupied government in America?
Well, I'll respond to that, but let me first just address what the gentleman in Washington said a minute ago. I think that he made a very important point. I don't know whether he intended to or not, but he said quite clearly, and I agree with him, that the negotiations are not about the nuclear program at all. It has nothing to do with the nuclear program, that it is a purely political and geopolitical gambit by the United States and Israel. In saying that it's not about the nuclear program, I think that that's a pretty outright admission of that fact. Now, as to the second question, I think that both extremes in this dichotomy are probably illusory. I think that it's somewhere in the middle. The Israelis use the United States and have the United States do their bidding when it serves their interests. Conversely, the United States uses Israel when it serves its interests. I think that this is a symbiotic relationship, both countries being part of a transnational imperial system. It is empire. Israel is a part of it. It is a foothold in that region. The United States is a part of it, perhaps the dominant part of it, but it is still a part of this system. And so when analyzing these questions, we need to examine them from a systemic level.
Now, looking at the new Obama administration, Mr. Hellman, we've got John Kerry as Secretary of State. We've got Chuck Hagel. I mean, these are people who've not been very much welcomed by Israel, have they? So do you think that this is going to change U.S. policy towards Israel, especially when it comes to the Palestinian issue? We know that Obama, according to one report, has been said, is going to demand, for instance, a timetable for an Israeli withdrawal from the occupied West Bank. So do you think this is going to result in some change in U.S. policy on the Palestinian issue as well?
Well, I think that the nomination and confirmation of Secretaries Hagel and of Kerry and Hagel and the nomination of John Brennan to head the CIA, they all reflect President Obama's basic worldview that he wants to be like all the other nations, get along with all the other nations, end any wars with other nations, and frankly, Israel, the existence of Israel and its strength is something of an anomaly, I think, to this administration, to the Obama administration. He would like to consider Israel to be just like any other nation, but the heart of the American people is that Israel is special, and America is special, whether you like that or believe that or not. That's what the American public thinks, and that's what the Congress particularly, but also in more enlightened days, the White House has felt. Mm-hmm. The House of Representatives particularly, and to some extent the Senate, really reflect the will of the American public, not of AIPAC or any particular organization. They believe that there should be the strongest possible U.S.-Israeli relationship, not that America should fight for Israel. Israel always said they will defend themselves, but that two free democracies, the one really free democracy in the Middle East, Israel, and America, the leader of the free world, we still believe, should be allied. And that's what's really motivating all of this, regardless of administrations that come and go.
Yes. So, Eric Dreitzer, would you also say that the heart of the American people really feels for Israel and they view Israel as a special case where it should be treated as a special case by the U.S. as well?
Well, the American people have demonstrated time and time again that they are a fickle people, and most importantly, they are a very, very propagandized people. The droning talking points from all mainstream media outlets, be they right-wing or left-wing, Fox News or MSNBC, or anything in between, frames the discussion about Israel, about tactics, about strategy, and never questions the issues of morality, of human rights, or of international law. So the discussion of Israel in the United States and the popular sentiments about Israel are entirely skewed. And I think that it is certainly a deliberate distortion to say that the heart of the American people is about Israel. The heart of the American people is about America, and it's about doing what's right for America. And the reality is the real heart of the American people is sick and tired of war, whether they're U.S.-initiated wars, Israeli-initiated wars, or anybody else's wars. We're tired of those wars, and we're tired of empire, imperialism, and death.
Well, speaking again on Obama's first presidential trip to Israel now, Mr. Hellman, a lot of people are saying that the United States is actually running out of reasons for playing a mediatory role, for instance, to bring about peace. They're seeing settlement expansion. They're seeing the Israeli attacks, violations of ceasefires. Do you think that this is going to lead Obama to say, we're stepping out of that mediation process, we can't stop Israel from carrying out, for instance, these settlements, etc.?
Yes, I believe that at least one of the points that President Obama will make on his coming mission to Jerusalem is to say that there should be a resumption of talks, and perhaps that there should be a set timetable for withdrawal from the contested areas. But it's not going to work. Nothing is going to happen with respect to negotiation to create a new Palestinian state in the heartland of Israel, because President Obama, under the law of unintended consequences, he has put the last nails into the coffin of the peace process by raising the bar so high that no Palestinian authority or PLO leader can come to talks without those same preconditions being met. No growth of settlements, no natural growth of settlements, no discussion of anything but withdrawal to the pre-June 5th, 1967 lines, including the Golan Heights.
Right,
and
Mr. Hellman,
so this
I'm really
means
sorry.
That President
to stop
Obama
you there
can
because,
talk about
yeah. really
what he
short
wants.
Of time. Yeah, we're really short of time. I just put this question to Mr. Dreitze, if I may. Now, Mr. Dreitze, a lot of people are saying Obama is facing a very difficult dilemma now when it comes to Israel. If it's accused of inaction, it's not going to work. If it supports Israel's illegal behavior, it's still going to be isolated. So what is the fact now when it comes to the U.S. and Israel, especially on Palestine?
Well, I think it's quite clear. The Obama administration demonstrated where their priorities and feelings lie when the Israelis committed their aggression against Gaza. The United States government was silent all throughout the war. The United States government and Obama himself, along with all of those underneath him, continued to legitimize and support Israel in that war. And so I think that more than anything else, the tale is in the details, or rather maybe perhaps the devil is in the details. When you look at the innocent Palestinian children and mothers and fathers who were killed in that blatant and naked aggression, and the United States government standing by, not condemning it, let alone getting involved in it, this demonstrates what the priorities are. The Obama administration's no different than previous administrations, only superficially.
Thank you very much. We're at StopImperialism.com in New York, Mr. Eric Dreitze. Thank you for being with us. A big thank you to our guest, Richard Hellman in Washington, president of the Middle East Research Center. We've unfortunately run out of time for this edition of The Debate. Do stay with us. We'll be back with more news. Thank you.